the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. I think, you know, again, it's just powerful, I think, to realize the God that we serve. And again, not to be distracted by all the things going on, but to really ascribe to God the splendor of his holiness and the glory that's due his name.
Amen. Yeah. When we had read it in the staff meeting, it's just a funny psalm because you start off with this, all this about praising God, and then again, it's like, watch out, he's going to get you. And it's just sort of like this odd thing. It's like it's all this praise of God, and then at the very end, it's just like this, you're going to be judged. It doesn't matter how good God is, he's still going to judge you. And it's a very common theme throughout that whole section of the Psalms. A lot of them will be, like one of them, like 103 or something like that, wherever we're at now. Like it's like all the whole just condemnation kind of thing. The one before it is all sort of happiness of God, by God. But it's just that one is, it's just like this right little at the very end, the last line.
It says he'll judge us in his faithfulness.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. But that judging is still there. Yeah.
So. It's still there, but
it will,
we have hope.
Correct.
Yeah. We have hope.
And I don't know, one of the Psalms today, it's like, you know, look at the mountains. These are amazing, but they will, they're temporary. You know, they're going to go away. And, you know, we get so caught up in the here and now, you know, and we need to, you know, take it seriously, but trust in God, you know, for this minister position and everything. But, you know, you look at the mountains and something that seems eternal, and God said, no, it's going to go away. The only thing that's going to be here is, you know, God's church and God. And you know, just to keep focus on that, you know, we may not understand how things turn out, you know, the decisions made, or may not seem like it's in our best interest, but it's in God's kingdom's best interest. And the perspective is a hard thing.
Yeah. Well, like I said, distractions are too easily.
Yeah.
You know, in front of us, you know. So we talk about people, I guess. And the reason Steve's not here, he's taking Susan's aunt to the hospital, had to go in the hospital, I think. And Susan was up there, and he's running her some things that they need up there, and some supper, I think, to get to her. And then he said he'd be here, he had to make some copies, and then he'd be here. So I know they spend an awful lot of time and effort taking care of, very faithful to that. I was telling Brad I saw Maria Holmes today. She went home from the hospital today. She had her gallbladder removed yesterday.
They did remove it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The first thing they did, they thought it was just a stone, and they said when they looked at it, just that the whole gallbladder was the size of a raisin or something. It shriveled up, or so they just went in and
removed it. Doing anything?
Yeah. So.
Okay.
And so she's home today. Okay. She might. I don't know, Dave. She might need some. She doesn't work. She doesn't get paid, and she's gonna be off for 2 weeks. So
yeah.
She sort of hinted to that, but I.
Steve Walker gave me a heads up, and he touched base with her. Her main concern was whatever payment is due at the nursing home.
Yeah, that's what she told me.
And so, do you guys know, like, if he's on Medicaid, is there still a copay, or does that mean he doesn't have Medicaid?
He has Medicaid, because she says it's Medicaid that's wanting some of the money. So I don't know if there's some sort of.
Okay. I didn't know the scope of what it might be, and told Steve to get back to me.
Yeah.
Are they still in their house, or are they? They're in a house.
Yeah.
So if they own a house, then they're having to pay some.
Okay.
Because generally, you have to sell all your property in order for them to cover everything. And so that's probably the reason why. So
I know there are asset limitations, but I didn't know.
Yeah, so.
And I thought you got the exclusion for the house and everything else.
Yeah, I thought that. Well, maybe it's just that you're the only one left.
Okay.
So, because I know with my grandmother, that's what they had to do.
So it's something.
House first.
Yeah.
So I let him know he could get back to me.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't seem overly concerned, but she did mention it.
Yeah.
Okay. And she said that my main concern is being sure can pay whatever she pays to.
Good to know.
Talked to Ron Milligan. He wasn't at church Sunday. And he just, hey, what's up? And I guess when it gets hot, you know, Joni, she's just not good. So the past couple of Sundays, she hadn't.
So he missed Caitlin preaching?
Well, and the thing, so he knew it was going to happen, and I didn't bring it up, but he didn't piss about it at all when I was talking to him. So, I didn't bring it up, but he would have. So
let me elaborate a little bit, because Joni tells Amy they skipped the Caitlin Sunday on purpose because of that specifically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this past one, it was just too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Joni's assessment was, if that happens again, they're going to skip any Sunday that's going to happen. And so that's Joni's assessment of where they are. And so they continue to be the only ones that Amy and I are hearing any feedback from. And I thought that's worth revisiting again. It's been another week, another Sunday. Has anybody else heard any more feedback about Kaylin's sermon or,
only positive?
Any? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's just good to touch base and realize. So.
We got through the entire agenda.
Okay, good. You didn't have the agenda yet.
We just made one up.
Yeah.
That's how we got through.
I got all kinds of reading material here. My goodness.
Yeah, you shouldn't walk in with an inch thick packet.
I know. Well, I was up at the hospital, and I was walking out, and I walked by the room that my dad had died in. Mm. I cried all the way to the truck, and then I had to call my daughter, and I started crying when I was talking to my daughter. It's like, I wasn't expecting that. But
what hospital were you at?
You what?
What hospital were you at?
Missouri Baptist. We're all
going to say we have seen you at Mercy.
Are we on updates on people?
Yep, that's what we're doing.
Okay. And Ross isn't here. Could you do the prayer after that?
And he's sick, I think, probably.
Is he?
So he was not feeling well yesterday.
I'll pray for my Aunt Beverly. She's pretty sick. She was weak.
All of a sudden?
So it's a, she might have aspiration pneumonia and then an infection in her colon. And she got one of those colonoscopies. It's all complicated. And then again, at the sunrise, she called Susan. Susan called Sunrise to come up there, and they didn't come for an hour. And Susan had a meeting tomorrow because a lady on Friday was yelling and screaming at Ruth in the cafeteria. Well, she got fired today. We have another thing to talk to the executive director about. Anyway, that's my stuff. So,
you know, I was with Tom yesterday. And how we treat our elderly people?
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Not great at
all. And I'm really getting concerned about that personally.
Yeah.
Closer and closer.
Yeah, boy.
No, but you're right.
Yeah, it's pretty clear in Scripture that those are the ones that we have to really honor more and help more. Yeah. So. Oh, and pray for my son Aaron. He lost his job Friday, which is pretty interesting. He, he was the main manager, and the place had two resorts. They sold one and brought the manager there down to be the assistant manager to Aaron, and they brought the head housekeeping person and his wife down. And then there was a Chilean woman there, young lady, she couldn't speak English, and they were just bullying her. There's some other things. She was dating one of the guys and broke up with him, and they were just ruthless. And so Aaron just really stepped up and took a firm step down and said, "You don't treat her that way. You do not do that." And so then the head housekeeper went to the owners and said, "We can't work with her. You either get rid of her or we're quitting." Mm-hmm. So they fired her, and that really ticked Aaron off that they would do that to her. And then he had some words with the head housekeeper, said, "You didn't treat her well," and just pretty firm. And so then he goes to the owner and said, "We can't work with Aaron. It's either him or us." Mm. So they fired him. Mm. And so, and it's a lot that, with that, you know, they gave him 2 weeks severance.
Okay.
2 weeks, he's got to be out of his apartment there. Mm. But he'd been looking for a job for a while, never really found one. So,
yeah.
Because then you said, or you told me maybe, that he was thinking about coming back to St. Louis, maybe even.
He, at one point, he'd considered it. And we're encouraging him. He's coming in for the 27th. All the kids are coming in for me throwing the first pitch. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, after that, on Sunday, we can just drive back in my truck and we just help move your stuff out." And he's got to figure out where he wants to go. And he's not quite sure. He's got an interview in Montrose at a place there, being a manager there. And I even talked to Steve Worthy today, and he's got 80 apartments here. And he was pretty upset with the property managers, so he fired them. And his real estate guy is trying to sell his place. He's going to start a business in property managers. So I called him, I said, "Hey, this guy's needing someone else. My son might be available." So I said, "I haven't talked to him yet." And so then Aaron like, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. We'll see." Yeah. So it's just he'll land with on his feet. It's kind of good to get, you know, he's one that making a decision, he's got to be real thorough with things, and this will be good for him.
I think his dad might know some people that could be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I even with that, I'm careful.
Yeah.
You know how is a dad. Yeah. So, but pray for him.
Okay.
And Beverly. So. Okay. I've been intending to get with Ed Bielek, and I had not done it. I was going to call him today, and this all this stuff came up, and I haven't anybody talked with him. So he's getting weaker and weaker. I saw his daughter-in-law a few weeks ago, and she said, because I every now and then I'd go over and pick him up and take him to breakfast, said he's having a hard time in the mornings. Said maybe take him to Culver's for lunch, so I'm going to try to do that. And so he's getting weaker.
Does he still live by himself?
He lives with his son and daughter-in-law over in Crestwood.
Okay. So.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'll throw out one more. I think it was on the prayer list last week. Beata put that her mom was having issues, memory issues, basically. The one story that I'll just quickly share is that the girls were there, like with the, in Hungary with her, and they had went to Spain. They came back, and the next day they went to one of the family's house, I think, and then the mom went back home, and the girls went to the store to buy some souvenirs, and they get back, and her mom was down at the bus station, or bus stop by her house, asking for the restaurant, looking for a restaurant, and thinking that she was still in Spain, but she had, and they don't know how long really she had been down there. They don't know much about it other than it's pretty sure she went home, like from when they met, because they had, she had something that she had with her when she was with them, and it was up in the house, but something had happened in between that she had just lost where she was at and was out talking to people, and it's good nobody took advantage of her or anything, stole her purse or anything, whatever she had, but and she hadn't slept much, and so there's questions as to how much of it's related to not the lack of sleep, how much of it loss of memory, because there's been other issues that, like memory things, and so it's just been one of those things that have been, we've been trying to get, we wanted her to go to the doctor. She went to the doctor by herself instead of going with her or with her sister. So we had arranged for her sister to go with her, because we knew that if she goes to the doctor, she's just gonna walk in there and tell the doctor what she knows, or less than what she knows, and then walk right back out. And so it's just one of those concerns of being on the other side of the world trying to do things through people that you can't really force to do things.
On the prayer list that Kay Linson's out, Alec and Juan asked, of course, to pray for our nation and then pray for his brother George, who has COVID. He's high risk. And then Barb Eichley asked for us to pray for one of the clients of the food pantry, Jessica. Her mother's being tested for cancer. Jessica is her caregiver.
Spoke with Barb Eichley yesterday. She was telling me she's having problems with
Give us a hint.
Yeah, him.
Charles?
I'm sorry?
Charles, her husband?
No. I can see his face and Kim.
He works in the pantry?
Yeah.
Don Cease?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. They're probably in the pantry.
She says it's gotten to the point where when he's on the schedule to work, she says, I just get upset because he doesn't listen. He doesn't do what we ask him to do. He's always, you know, ragging on somebody about something. And I said, well, you're in charge of the pantry. I said, you know, if you can't work with him, you ought to let him know. But I think she may need some help with that. So I said, you know, let me know if you need to do something. She said, Don will sometimes get upset and goes and just sits and doesn't do anything anyway. And Lillian's in the back, you know, with the girls. And it really was upsetting to her that, you know. So I thought, well, I'd hate to lose Barb or, you know, something like that. And so I just keep that in your back pocket for the moment. But.
How you feeling, Dave?
Good. This tickle is weird. I haven't had that all day. Last little bit of my symptoms here.
Got congestion?
I did have some, but don't really have any anymore.
Oh, really? Well, that's quick. I've still got some from two weeks ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Not much. It's almost gone, but.
Yeah.
How was Seth?
Oh, that was a really awesome visit.
Good.
They're doing very well. He's liking what he's doing. And
good.
Our weekly Bible studies have been really good. We just finished Galatians and moving on to Ephesians and just, you know, chapter good. A week kind of a deal.
Wow.
And he's the one initiating to make sure we get that scheduled and we do that FaceTime Bible study.
Wow.
It's just so encouraging.
That's great. That's great.
And to be out there and do that with him while we were there.
Yeah.
And I just had a delightful visit with them.
It's
really
good.
Really nice. Good. So.
Anybody else?
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right, let's lift these up. God, we come to you and we just thank you for all that you do. And as we saw in the Psalms, we just give you praise and ascribe to you all the praise and all the glory because you are worthy of our praise. God, we lift up to you these that we've been talking about, Maria and Beverly, Kati and George and Jessica's mother, Dave as well, and for Ross, we just ask you and ask your hand of mercy to be on them, and ask your hand of healing to be on them, God, and we ask you to provide strength and help around them, God, and let them be able to feel your presence. God, we thank you for just all that you do. We ask you for Aaron and his struggles with jobs, as we know there's several others even in our congregation that, whether it be Kaz or Jeff. We also thank you for Leon and the job that he has. He found. And for Denise Hutchins as well. We ask you, also ask you for the pantry and just the things going on around that with just the people that are there working, and just we ask your hand to be on them and help them to be able to work together or to figure out how to assign things differently so that they can serve the people that come in and be a joy to those people, God.
Yes.
We thank you for all that you do. And we ask your blessings on this meeting.
Amen. Amen. All right, Children's Minister search update. Steve?
And so we had our first Zoom meeting with Cybert on Thursday, probably. And I'll give you guys a couple of highlights, probably three really important highlights I wanted to talk about. So one of the objectives was for her to get to know us a little bit better. And so we had a Q&A, and we wanted to find out what questions she needed to have answered so she could be able to understand a little bit more about who we are. And two questions she asked, and she said, these are the questions that are important to candidates. You need to know about the church. And the first one is women in leadership. Are we a church that's gender inclusive? That was the number one question that candidates were asking about churches. And so we're able to kind of give her a feel of who we are. Just so happened Kaylin had preached the week before.
Looks good on that resume.
Maybe, or maybe really bad for half of the candidates.
So we talked about that. We talked about how they're involved in communion talks and how they're making contributions to spiritual formation, Betty in particular, and just kind of gave her a great worship leaders, and so she gave a sense of the inclusion. And so that was very important to her in terms of as she's vetting candidates for us to recommend, to get a sense of what that's all about. And then the second question was, are you solely a cappella? Are you solely a cappella in terms of the worship? And so that's another question that's asked quite a bit. And so we're, you know, told we're a mixture. And she wanted to know, she said, what instruments do we involve? And so I was able to tell her that. So those were two of the questions that, in terms of us, but there was other things that we talked about, but those were high on her list in terms of that. And so the other thing that we wanted to kind of get a sense of is children's minister versus family minister. And she said graduates are graduating not with children's minister. It's more children's and family minister is how they're being trained. So, and she said the distinction is that a lot of churches, when they're looking for a children's minister, it's real task oriented, whereas the children and family minister, there's a pastoral component in terms of how you walk with the family. The parent and the child are part of the journey. It's a more inclusive, a holistic approach. And so, but a family minister, she said, for most churches, that's a little bit of a different role. That's one of more of an arching role over the children, family minister, and the youth minister. And that person helps with, you know, the cohesiveness of the program, making sure there's some connectivity in the program, make sure the vision is crystal clear for them. And so that's not really what we're looking for. And so we got a better understanding what that looks like. And it seems to align with where we think we're going in terms of this. And she said the other thing is that when you have a children and family minister role in place and it's working effectively, there's some mechanisms that come naturally with that that provides a little continuity when the children's moving from one program to the other, like the youth ministry program, because you've already, the parents are inclusive in the journey. And so you got that already in place. So it's more of a natural transition where the parents stay inclusive in the journey as they transition to the next program. There are a few other things too. But the third thing that we talked about is the our specific job description. And even before we got there, we talked about, compensation, some indirect things of compensation that are important to candidates. And we found that out quite a bit with Ethan in particular. But flexibility was, he says, real important. In particular, flexibility and scheduling and how the schedule demands of the job. And she gave an example, like she said, if you have a mother that's working in the summertime, she may need a little bit more flexibility if she has school-aged children in the summer, the work with those kids. She said and then she said for her, when she was working in children's ministry for 17 years, that was an important factor. It's still an important factor. But the other thing that carried today for her was that how churches would prioritize her parenting role, in turn with the job as well. That was understood. But in terms of the job description itself, we talked a little bit about that too. And I think one of the things that she recommended to us is that our job description is really task oriented, and she said there need to, with the and expectations are. She said those are important, but she said there should be some expectation on relational things as well, right? In terms of how the person see themselves in their relationship, the pastoral responsibility, kind of vet that out. She said ours was missing a little bit of the relational driven things. And she said that's especially important to a person that is relational minded, so he or her can see himself in a position, it requires that component, bring that component to the job. So she asked us to, that maybe exclude some of the things that are not as important, that that are kind of as part of the job, so to speak, and we'll get into that a little bit, but include more 5 or 7 things that are more relational. And so we're trying to work through it, trying to figure out what that looks like in terms of our job description. The other thing, so after we had our time, it was about an hour and a half, so we're going to get together and prioritize what is it that we see are the priorities and what we learned from our time with Jennifer and what we still have on our list and what things we want to dig deeper in and, to kind of fill up our time, our remaining part of time. So we're going to talk about that on Thursday. But on Saturday, she got back in contact with us and gave us the name of a candidate. And she's a children's minister now in Lubbock, Texas at Broadway Church of Christ. And she's been there for about 3 years. And her name is Mackenzie Kleeper, I believe is the last name.
What was the last name?
Kleeper, I believe it's Kleepper, I think. And so she's working on a master's in Christian ministry, but she's ready to move and do something differently, looking for a different church. And so just so happened that Nathan has a relationship with her. But Jeremiah has really the stronger relationship, but Nathan know her through a relationship with Jeremiah and met her several times at conferences, and so they've interacted several times. So he did the initial reach out to her, just so she had a familiar person on
the other. Being Nathan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he did like a text just okay. Say, hey, you know, hey, we would like to connect with you, and some people in the committee would like to reach out to you, make sure that's okay. Just want to let you know this is where I worship. I'm the youth minister here, and so that kind of thing. And so he made that initial connection, and that went real well. So we followed up with her today. I did follow up with her today after Nathan reached out to her, and we're trying to set up a time, I think on Thursday, we're going to have a kind of informal phone interview for Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the next steps on that. So that's it.
Great
update.
So, Steve, you talked about, you know, the distinction between a children's minister and a children and a families minister.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that you're looking for?
We're going to be looking for a children family minister.
So we're going to look at children.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very interesting that it's evolving like youth ministry did in the 80s. We were youth ministry and youth and family to make it more holistic. And, and if we do this, I think we need to change Nathan's title from youth minister to youth and family, and then in children and family, and then they just meld together with a big part of it. First thought.
Okay.
So the one thing that'd be interesting, though, so it's interesting because Jeremiah, I think, was, we called him the children's minister, but I think he was more of a children's and family
minister. He was more.
Because he was pulling the families in all
the
time.
Nathan,
on the other hand, does not.
Yeah.
Neither did Michele. So if you look at Michele and Nathan's style is very, very similar in that they're very much about the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
but Nathan is reaching out to some of the broken homes.
Is he? That's good.
Yes, with Jaden and Izzy, he's had some contact with
some of
with
the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think Jaden went to Nashville with him.
No, he
was it.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. Okay.
No, he didn't get to, because he had to go to summer school. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was at Nashville? Because I thought
it was Max. Yeah. Izzy. There were only five kids.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, wow.
Yeah. The Minton son went.
Yeah. Jacob went.
Yeah.
And then two more.
Yeah.
The tall girl was in the
picture. Yeah.
Oh, Sydney. Sydney.
Sydney. Sydney, and then one more.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So.
Okay.
Sorry. The tall girl.
She is tall. Yeah. So. Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Super.
Okay.
You know, and
so I wanted to chime in a little bit to see, just give Steve a little guidance here. How much of a premium do you guys feel we need to put on someone with experience in this position? Because we don't have a lead minister right now, and we might have someone who's very good to that supervisory kind of role, or could we get a brand new graduate? Do you think that's all right, or do we need to be real deliberate about that? Because I feel like that's quite the fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And
we do limit our pool if we get that specific.
Right, that's my thought.
You know, that's the challenge. Just so happened the person that we'll be talking to hopefully later this week, she has 3 years of experience.
Correct.
That's helpful. But.
And so, but I would think if we were open to a brand new graduate, you know, that's who's graduating, is that. And so why don't we fire off to every campus and who hasn't been hired yet,
who's
with such a degree program. We haven't done that.
No.
But I don't know that that's a good fit for us. So I wanted us to chew on that a little bit to give you a little. How much do we weigh that?
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about that too, and since the pool is so limited, just some of these graduates are already being cultivated in junior year.
Yeah.
You know, so the relationships are being developed early on, with congregations, and so once they get to the senior, or at least first semester senior, they're already cultivating them. Okay. And so
the good ones.
Yeah. And so, you know, by the time they get to the graduate, which we didn't realize that, by the time we were thinking, okay, ready to graduate, time to cultivate. No, it's happening much earlier. And so, you know, so we will be trying to do more of that just in case this is a longer game than we think, you know,
and,
so.
And the girl at Broadway, just being at that church tells you she's the cream of the crop, usually, mm-hmm. you know, because Broadway's a bigger church and probably had a lot of people apply for that job. Mm-hmm. So, but you never know. You know. Yeah. Again, she's from Texas. Yeah. Is she from Texas originally?
I think she's from Keller, Texas. I think. Okay. I think so.
Yeah, that's tough when they're from Texas.
So I put St. Louis in there, and she didn't run high and screaming high.
Yeah.
You know, I reached out to her, make sure she was. It was in St. Louis. Yeah. So no surprises.
Well, her experience sounds very attractive.
Yeah.
But trying to pull out of her an understanding of why the change.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What's not fulfilling where you are? What's and is that something we have?
Yeah, that's important to know, Dave. That's an important
thing. Anyway, is that the main church in Lubbock?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So, and so that's like anybody that's at Harding and they go to the college church or the downtown church as their children's minister usually have been interns there.
Yeah, right.
And then they get pushed up into that role.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it's sort of, she probably graduated from Lubbock and she got in that role sometime during the time at Lubbock and then she's ready to get out of there.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's usually what happens. Yeah, so usually they run away after a while out of that city. But
then they come up north and like, I miss Texas.
Yes. Yeah,
but I agree with Dave. I think casting a wide net, you know, just put something out to the universities, whatever.
I was going to call the Harding people and Oklahoma Christian people today, but with all the stuff going on with the hospital, I didn't get to it. And I was just going to talk lead minister, but I can also ask them about children's minister.
Yeah, I was wanting to reach out to somebody, but there was nobody on campus this last week.
Oh, yeah.
We were there Wednesday and Thursday, and it's like we saw three people, I think. That we knew. And it's like nobody on campus.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Next time, though, there will be everybody on campus. So we're still looking. In a month, I can go talk to everybody in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, be there.
Okay.
Crying for my daughter.
Yeah, anything else?
That's it.
All right, let's go to phase two. Phase two, I've got several pages here. The first one is a letter from Lane to Steve. I printed it so you guys could read that. Mm-hmm. The second part is a resume from Rex Butts. And the third one is a cover letter from David Mahfoud that he sent to us along with his resume. I called Rex Butts today, and he's definitely interested. Last week, somebody had mentioned we might be calling. I guess it's probably Carson, and he's been on our website, and he's very interested and kind of excited. And he's at the church he's at in Delaware. They've already gone through the instrumental music and probably working on the, hadn't said much about the lays, and I told him about where we're at, and he's like, oh, that's great. So, and I told him, gave him my opinion. I said, I think we've turned a corner on that. I said, we had a lady preach last week and just really didn't have a whole lot. I was very pleased. I feel like we're at a place we've not been before with that. And so, so that's Rex.
So on Rex, seems like he's pretty good on his resume. He doesn't stay very long at a place, but I mean, that may be the new normal. You know, it looks like 5 years is a long time for him. And there's a gap, for his first 10 years, it's like, well, I don't know what he's done. And for the experience that he's given, it's pretty generic. You know, I don't know what his title was. But so it'd be interesting to figure out those three things.
Yeah.
But I think definitely worth talking to.
Yeah. And so I told him I'd get back with him tomorrow. I'm assuming, I didn't want to step forward on anything without talking with you guys. Same process we used the first phase.
Yeah.
So have Jeff and Steve and I Zoom with them. Second Zoom, if we get to that part, we can have the elders. And then the third one would be having them coming in. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Continuing that. So, is he one we want to pursue?
I think along that line, yeah.
It's a vision elder decision at this point.
You guys will get a feel, and then if you feel like it's next step.
Okay. And then
I wanted to understand that his resume, the ministry accomplishments, and he lists a couple of books.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the author of those books.
He is.
He is.
So one of them is so the first book is his, I think.
Okay.
So the Gospel
He doesn't portraits. Mention another author there, but he does on the next
one. The other one is it's a book by John Mark Hickson, Bobby Valentine. And it has multiple authors. So it's like each chapter is a different person.
Okay.
So he's one of the people that combined.
Okay.
I didn't go look them all up, but that was something I had saw too. I was like, that's interesting. Because he published multiple articles as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Presented it. Pepperdine looks like in 2013 and 2023. And in Denver.
Yeah, and he's written in wineskins a lot, which is, I mean, one, it's the progressive Church of Christ newspaper that used to exist.
Okay.
Three children. His first child died. I saw that in something as I was stalking him.
Yeah. I just saw a couple things online on him, Facebook and stuff, but I didn't see that about losing a child.
Yeah, it was the question and answer thing. People were asking him questions. What's the hardest thing you ever did? He said, the death of my oldest.
Mm. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. He's a musician. He plays a guitar. He talked a little bit about that and just, I told him, we have a keyboardist and we just have a guitar. I said, we kind of, the way I describe it is we're very respectful of our tradition. And we don't have a full band. And he really liked that. He felt like a full band, you lose out on a lot with that. Okay. And at his church, I don't think they have a full band either. So he said.
Okay. I pulled up one of the worship services. It was online. And it was like stepping back 50 years ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
Two songs and a prayer.
I mean, it was traditional.
At this church?
Where he's at now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they have instruments?
No.
He told me they had instruments.
It was all a cappella.
Huh.
But, I mean, it was old a cappella.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, man. Old Reggae Cross.
I told Sue, turn that thing off. I can't.
Yeah. And did he get up and preach?
It was just the service that, and to be honest, I didn't do much with it.
Oh, yeah.
I just was curious what it would look like. And after about two or three songs, I thought,
Yeah, it's different than what he told me. That's interesting. Yeah. Maybe I misunderstood him. He said they were.
Yeah, I just pulled up the traditional service as opposed to the
contemporary service.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next one is from David Mahfood. He's a cousin of Matthew Bardowell. You can read that. Basically, he was a professor at Central Florida, Johnson College, which is a Christian church college, and they decided to close up this year. And so he's like, they let him know, I think, on July 6th. And so he's kind of, whoa, what do I do here? He had some time with the International Churches of Christ, but is kind of trying to get away from that. And he was going to
An Anglican church for a while.
Church. That was very interesting. And I'm like, I wonder what kind of fit that would be.
Right.
But I don't know. But I just left a message with him.
He has a BA in physics, so that's good.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, BA in physics and MA.
Have you done?
So he's a heady guy, it looks like.
Maybe good to get his statement of faith. He's got at the bottom statement of faith.
Okay.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and references available. Okay. So I can call both of them and get their references and all of that, but and then set up a time when you and I and Jeff can meet with him.
Okay.
I told Carrie or Rex it'd probably be next week because Jeff's out of town.
Okay.
So.
And it's taught at both Abilene and at Hardin.
Yeah.
At the grad school level.
Yeah.
Hardin grad school and Abilene regular university, both theology and stuff like that.
Yeah. So those are those two, and then Steve, you want to talk about Lane?
Yeah.
And the whole story has evolved since the letter.
Very interesting.
So you guys have read the letter. I won't get much into the letter. But so he sent that, I think, Thursday, and I just kind of thought about it a little bit and responded. So we decided just to have a phone conversation. I didn't want to go back and forth with emails and text messages. And so we had a phone conversation yesterday. And we talked more in general about his next steps and what he might want to do. And he's just trying to fill that out in terms of ministry. And I just gave him an assessment. I said, this is kind of me. I'm not trying to speak for anybody except myself on this, but we talked about, you know, kind of his skill set versus some of the challenges he might have. And we talked where some of his skill sets would be really beneficial to him. It kind of lends itself more to like an executive minister because of his organizational skills, his ability to, you know, bring consistency to large groups of people. You know, he can be a relational guy. So we talked about how that will be, you know, probably an ideal kind of setting for him in terms of, you know, in ministry and, you know, even in the case of like Bible study teacher, you know, was, but the challenge was, you know, in terms of preaching and, you know, he realized that was going to be a challenge. And so I think, I don't know, but I got the sense that he wasn't really going to apply. I asked him if he was interested, and he just kind of, you know, said, I don't know, you know. And so my sense is that he may not be applying for the job, you know, but that'd be his call on that. And so one of the things that I did recommend for him to do is connect him to Carson Reed, just in case there's some executive ministry positions that might be a fit for him. And so I think he's going to reach out to Carson Reed and just get connected with him to see if there's something Carson can offer him or some direction Carson can offer him. But I don't really know what his next steps are. I don't know, you know, so I can't speak for that. But he wanted you guys to know specifically so you could be praying for him. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted from this group. He wanted us to be praying for his next steps in his journey. And so that's why he asked me to share it with you all so that you can be in prayer.
What are your thoughts on him being an exec minister here? And how would that work?
Here?
Mm-hmm.
I told him we weren't really looking for that role.
I know, but what are your thoughts on that, though? I mean,
in a weird sort of way, I think he and Ethan would probably have made a good pair. The things that probably was afraid, Ethan was afraid to do,
yeah.
Lane probably can do really well, you know.
Yeah,
so,
same.
You know, but I didn't know we were looking for that, so I didn't really offer any encouragement from us, because we did talk a little bit about it, and we talked about it being probably something for a congregation larger than us that had the capacity to provide that role. So we didn't specifically talk about it for us here.
Yeah. And that would put him down south, closer to family. Probably that's where the larger churches are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've been thinking about it for a couple of days, and then, you know, like what you said, I thought it would be perfect, he and Ethan, mm-hmm. you know. Maybe Ethan wants to work 15 hours here. You know, I don't think that's out of the question. But the other is, what Brad talks about is, you know, we've got people we can put in a rotation. Maybe Lane just, you know, helps them develop a speaking schedule, topics to preach on, and you know, we have people preach inside, and then maybe he helps fill gaps with other people. But you know, it just seems like there's still opportunity there, you know. And again, you know, this 3 months works out well where we're preaching. Maybe Lane just finds a way to make that work, and maybe, you know, finds other ministers to backfill that as needed. Or in addition to that, we hire Ethan for 15 hours. It sounds like he's willing to do that. And I think that would just be wonderful.
That's potential. That's right? Potential. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, just some of the things I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. And because, again, I think Lane would fill a lot of all the administrative question marks we've got.
Yep.
You know, my only question is we would not be able to pay him what he's being paid now. I mean, the salary range for that is going to be lower. But it seems like, you know, if we can live for 3 months having people preach, you know, Lane might be able to do that. And now, you know, I think it would be great to have somebody like an Ethan, you know, 15 hours, you know, just do preaching as well.
Is that model sustainable for long term? I mean, I don't know. It's a hybrid, and it's probably I don't know the answers to that.
So from the ministry perspective, and Steve, you can probably chime in too, but so there are lots of churches that have that model.
Yeah, Eric McPherson told me about that.
Yeah, so it's a very, not necessarily a new model, but for a larger church congregations, it's definitely one of those things because you have so many executive or so many things that are administrative that will keep a preacher from doing them. So generally you have an executive minister that is running the administrative part. And a lot of times it's maybe not even somebody that's getting paid. A lot of times an elder will take that role, or it would be somebody else, just depending on how large the congregation is. But then you have the preacher, and his job is really just preaching. He may do counseling, depending on his skill set. He may do very little, but no managing of the whole staff, really. He's one of the staff, and he, the executive minister, runs the staff and keeps them going. And so it's just... It's pretty.
We would have that model without these staff. Is the problem?
Yeah. Well, we have. So I mean, we have a youth minister. We have. It's just.
Well, it's the preaching rotation, which would be the.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. So right. if Ethan comes in.
So what Eric McPherson said is there are other churches that find talent within the congregation.
Correct.
For you know, like 3, and then maybe a 4th or somebody else that's kind of a staple that they have in there.
I remember reading, and we discussed it with the elders, this is way back when I was a youth minister, that the churches that did that were not growing churches.
Yeah, that's why I was a healthy church. I've been doing some reading on healthy churches, and I was wondering, you know, in terms of one of the metrics, depending on what you read, of a healthy church is growth. And, you know, that's an important metric, right? Because that means you're bringing people into the kingdom. So I wonder what it lends itself to help us to grow. And then the other thing is a metric that this particular author talks about was multiplying, not necessarily more locations, but you know, more church, house churches, small groups, second services. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the metrics you look for a healthy church. And I'm not saying that model can't produce that, you know, but I would want us to think about what do we need to do to become even a healthier church, right? What drives that, us being a healthy church? And that might be something that can do that, you know. It will solve our short-term problems, for sure, you know, because the administrative thing is a big piece, you know. So it will solve that. But, you know, how would it set us up for success for being this healthy church down the road? I'm not sure.
And I hear that, but if Jeff Kreider were to come on for another 5 years, that wouldn't fix what you're talking about.
Nope.
And it's like, well, we would still have to deal with that. So that model still doesn't work for us. And I don't know. I'm just trying to think. And it's like, I just don't mind thinking laterally at this point, you know, because, you know, maybe God's given it to us.
Yeah, it is.
And so maybe we start looking for an evangelist at that point.
Well,
so
that's what I'm thinking about.
Change the whole picture of what we're looking for. Yes. Instead of looking for this preacher, we look for an evangelist. We have... Lane
so yeah, even with
other people feel
that, like a Michael Santiago, you know, that gets a great guy. You're a young guy, but you get him up here with a Lane, and okay, that's got legs. And so you know, it's like, you know, I just don't know. I'm just trying to think because I think you can't get Michael up here by himself. You couldn't even get Ethan in here,
right?
Yeah.
Because
right.
of the big question mark. But if you had Lane
yeah.
at a reasonable price, and you get some of these young guys that are on fire,
yeah,
that's something.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other is, if Lane wants it to be an exec minister, you can cut your teeth here for a year, like mm-hmm. you're saying. Mm-hmm. Why don't you find some other churches and but mm-hmm. cut your teeth here? But mm-hmm. so anyway, I'm just trying to think laterally.
Okay.
It's interesting thoughts. I appreciate you bringing that up. One thing I hesitate with Lane is I remember back when we started making some changes, you know, he sent us an email saying, well, we're not coming there. I still can't get that out of my head. And this stays here. But with he and Eric, with Camp Nietes, drives the board crazy because they kind of just do their own thing and do some kind of, in my opinion, lack some discernment with some things. And that's just...
I had heard that this is his last year.
This is his last year?
Well, I think it's on him,
Lane had said that this is his last year.
Okay.
So I don't know...
He committed to 2 years of the all-teen.
Oh, is it that what it was? So
and this is the second of those 2 years. Yeah. But to confirm...
And I assume that Eric will probably take over, but maybe not. He's
maybe
pretty
not,
busy now.
His kids are not in it anymore.
Yeah, and he's very busy with work now. So, I mean, it's so much different. So.
And to your point, with a Lane, and, you know, it depends on who we hire, we would have to change... the paradigm in which the eldership interacts with the minister, you mm-hmm. know, and you know, Brad's brought this up is, you know, we trust Jeff. Hey, you know, do what you want. Just let us know. Give us a heads up. But we would, I think with Elaine, it's like, you know, you give us a proposal. We'll talk about it and, you know, don't do anything until we approve it kind of a thing. And probably the same with some of the others.
I was thinking about this whole idea of the healthy church. You know, I think the church at Antioch didn't have a located minister who did everything, you know, and that was where they first became Christians. So I really wonder if the idea that, you know, a body of believers that believes that we should be doing what we need to do to maintain the body here, but, you know, I think the outlook is where we really need help.
Outlook, what do you mean by
that? Yeah, explain that.
I think this is more the evangelistic approach, mm-hmm. having people that are going out mm-hmm. instead of being, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. centered mm-hmm. inward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to think about our history because we always prescribe out of it, and that's not necessarily good.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, when Stanley came up here, you know, there was a huge influx because there was a lot of energy and... Mm-hmm. Not everything was great, but mm-hmm. you know what? A lot of people got baptized.
Yeah.
If that's kind of the starting point, then, you know, I'm really thinking, you know, instead of trying to follow what other churches do, because mm-hmm. that's what they do, if we really prayed about it and say, okay, Lord, what if we really wanted to say, we can be a body that takes care of each other, mm-hmm. but, you know, what can we do to, you know, encourage people to come here that want to, you know, work to bring people in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think having that outreach focus is important. you know, your ministry and efforts toward reaching people that are unchurched or lost are searching. And so, you know, that would be, you know, that would be important. Evangelist, like you mentioned, you know, you know, something to help, you know, that this, and I don't want to jump ahead, but it's and maybe this is because there's so much uncertainty out that we are dealing with right now. But even some of that, you know, we could put some guardrails around some of that stuff, right? Because maybe not so much anymore, because we were talking with the minister, we had an idea of what we were looking for, so now that's in flux a little bit now, kind of this conversation, which is fine. But, you know, we had an idea of what we were looking for in the minister. We're getting closer to what we're looking for in the children's minister. Jeff's going to lay out some of the tasks in terms of things that need to backfill when he gets out there. So we can work through some of that stuff. But one of the things that's really difficult to work through is, and it's such an unknown, is how is the body dealing with all of this uncertainty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what impact is that having on a body? You know, if we do a great job of managing all those things, but really don't have a good sense of how the body is processing all of this and the impact it's having on them, you know, that's a big deal. So that healthy church kind of thing, I think, is related to understanding snapshot. Where is our body? Mm-hmm. You know, where is our body? You know, especially with, the ups and downs that we're going through right now. So, anyway, this is my thought on my heart for a little while here. I wanted to get that off my chest.
I'm kind of stuck on the whole Michael Santiago and Lane.
That's what I want to get in. Or even Ethan for 15 hours. Because Michael Santiago, I like that guy. But, you know, he's just green and he needs somebody.
I did want to bring up at this stage the previous candidates that we, you know, Ethan was the top of that tier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to revisit to make sure. In hindsight, does the door remain closed on those guys? Yeah. I don't know if anybody is worth another look, not out of desperation, out of...
Patrick, I think we decided there were too many red flags for Patrick.
Yeah. Agreed.
Josh is now, he got a job at Rooftop here in St. Louis.
What? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Michael Santiago. Right. He's one that we thought was young. I gave his name to... say another church here in town with a minister is looking at retiring.
Okay.
I think he'd be a good fit there. But I always think about something about him that was very endearing.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he's still available given where we are now.
He being
Michael Santiago.
But he's not really looking much right now because he was in the midst of youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of put his name out there with us. Because he heard about
it. I'm not talking about his not being qualified, but I'm just saying it's interesting. That he is still available for us to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
You
know?
Yeah, we never closed the door. So.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He was the one I thought of, but not. I was kind of talking myself out of it because we would have such a young staff that would need so much support from us that I think that although there's some real positives there, I was concerned about the structure around, or are we just going to drive him into the dirt because we're putting too much on him and we don't even realize we're doing that. It's kind of hindsight with Jeff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, wow, are we doing enough structural change to bring him in?
Yeah.
And I was squeamish, but I didn't want to just assume.
Yeah.
So it's good to get the feedback on everybody and where they're at.
And even with Lane, despite what I said, you know, there's been some changes. It was proven when he was an elder, but I still have those things in there. But it would be interesting if you had Michael. I'm just dreaming. Michael and Lane.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt to dream.
No.
And then maybe Lane is part time and he just starts another business that he does because that's kind of what he would probably could do.
Yeah. I my thoughts on Lane were that there's some possibility there. He would be an administrative strength. And would probably preach maybe half the time at most.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. Is that good for growth and all that kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he could grow into that, but boy, he knows the body and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's like there's some things
I didn't
want.
And he could relieve Elizabeth of some stuff, hopefully.
But I can't imagine that we could afford Lane as a full-time employee.
Right.
Well, on that, we would have to offer... not what he's worth running a company, but what he is worth given the cyber salary schedule for what we're hiring him for and his experience.
Correct.
It's like, Lane, that's what we're hiring you for, and that's what we
Well, just
pay.
Like Kreider, he took a big pay cut to work full-time.
Right.
Yeah,
so I would say
McKnight.
We would, on that scale, I think he'd be pretty, close to what Ethan we were going to offer him, but you know what he would take it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I think he would have to almost come to that conclusion that he's not going to be able to make the salary.
Yeah, there's not going to be any ministry position where he's going to come anywhere close to that. Yeah.
Well, he can do what the Apostle Paul did.
Make tents.
Yeah, he can.
He can do that. Yeah. Just work part-time.
A lot of ministers build tents, smaller churches.
And big churches.
And on the topic of Lane, and it probably for other ministers, and you know, so when I'm running, I'm thinking about all this stuff, is Lane, you know, if somebody asked him, hey, you know, LGBTQ ceremony, would he be willing to do that? Okay. Well, McKnight, we can't do that in our building, but maybe he will do the service. And so he would de facto, I mean, he would be standing in for us. And so it's one of these things, it's like, whoever we hire, do we have to make some kind of a statement? Listen, our church, at this point, we don't believe that that's appropriate. So even if it's not in this building, you shouldn't marry somebody anywhere else because you're a reflection on the church. And so, you know, I think that's an edge case, but it's like with Lane, it's like, well, maybe, you know, and it's other ministers, maybe you have to be explicit about that. And so that, you know, I don't know how you deal with those kind of situations that we've been talking about, but I think there would have to be some kind of an understanding like that.
Interesting discussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it opens a lot of doors if he's willing to come in at the Seibert standard rate for somebody of his background in ministry.
And then just do maybe part-time. And then he has, knowing that his other part-time is going to be creating his own business.
Right. And it's just like willing to talk with him about it. And so, because it opens up to Michael Santiago or Ethan working 15 hours or something like that.
I'm very appreciative of you guys working on contacting the candidates and doing those first rounds of interviews, and very thankful for your effort on that and filtering through the thing.
Yeah,
I appreciate that a whole lot.
And I guess one other comment on that, and something Jeff and I were kind of talking about is, when we get a bite on the line, we got to start reeling them in pretty quick. And I think we've done really well, but I think if there's anything we can do to accelerate, I mean, we don't want to go too fast, but, you know, I think we, you know, like with Ethan, a lot of steps and, you know, very certain in which, you know, I'm just trying to think, is there any way to, you know, crash the project? But if we can, you know, just start reeling on that fish a little faster. So
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's one of the lessons we learned with Cherry. And as we thought about that, we could have combined an activity like the second interview, brought her in to meet parents and things like that. When we did the second interview, even though we still have some question marks around that, we could have let the parents know we still have some question marks, but we wanted to make sure to take advantage of this. And so but to do that with a candidate that's outside of the city, we incur some expense. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not as sure. So we typically go through two interviews with the candidate and then bring them in for the live. So if we wanted to accelerate the process, you know, that's one way of doing it, but it's going to incur some expense, you know, doing it that way.
Yeah.
And and we drew out the whole Ethan thing, and he was wondering what took you guys so long.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we were thinking, well, we're just pretty quick. But the part of it is fitting him into our already planned schedule with the weekends that we had going on and everything, beginning of the summer. And so like this Rex Butts, he's ready to roll. He's kind of eager to meet with us and to see. And I'm sure he would probably like to think of something before the summer's over, because of his kids, but
And
how old is his kids, you know?
One of them just graduated high school, and one of them's in high school.
Okay.
Just from pictures, it looks like. Okay. There was a graduation picture. And, and again, it's what that is. I think the three of you guys do a great job, but I think if you videotape it, you know, hey, Kreider, we'll send you the video. I think, you know, you guys could represent McKnight, and you guys know the question. So, I mean, if it's a matter of scheduling, it's...
Yeah, and you know, Kreider could probably...
Jump on.
Join it. So, I think as long as two of you guys can make it and you record it.
Okay.
And so do we put Lane on there also? Or he's got to apply first.
Yeah. No. I don't know what you guys want.
It's kind of a head scratcher with that whole thing.
I mean, so. it's more of a hybrid model that will work for him. It could work for us. So
yeah,
if we could get him on there, that means we got potentially two hires. We got him plus Michael.
But the other one's not as much of a rush though, because we sort of had this 3 month.
That's true. Yeah. Down, that's true. So that's, true. That's true. That's true.
So right now, the next step is getting these two guys to interview,
yeah.
And then we'll see what happens with the next thing. But I guess we have to.
Let's pray for Lane while we talk to these other two guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they feel like a fit or not, and then let's see what that prayer does as far as opening the door for Lane and stuff. Mm-hmm. That, okay. That's what he asked us to do.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
So I think instead of trying to reach out to him right away, I think while you guys talk to these other two, because if they check all the boxes, then okay that closes the door on the other, I think.
The other option, it's an indirect, is, you know, Eric McPherson, he's, you know, sent me an email. He's been talking to Lane. I said, yeah, you know, Steve sent me this information last night. And, you know, he said, hey, if you want to talk about it, let me know. And so, you know, I could talk to Eric just saying, here's kind of what we're thinking about, and that'll filter through to Lane. I just don't know how to
deal with that. Why talk to Eric?
What's that?
Why talk to Eric?
Well, because he sent me an email. So he said, hey, you know, Lane told me he's talking to you guys, and, you know, I've been talking to Lane, and you know, he's really interested in this, and, you know, let me know if you, you know, want any feedback on it or anything. And so, you know, I was probably going to follow up with him anyway, but it could be an indirect way to say, hey, here's what we're thinking. You know, it's just...
Let me ask for a favor.
Yeah.
Don't do that with Eric.
I can sit on my hands.
It's hard for me to... I'm getting some red flags
when I see
Eric's name attached to the contact that led to Lane's contact, mm-hmm. and I need to work through that with Eric.
Okay.
And so
I
don't want to feed that.
Yeah.
Because I think leaving Eric out would be a wise thing to do.
And so I appreciate you validating a little bit, and I don't want to. Eric does a lot of things right.
Yeah.
But I've got some baggage, I'll confess to you guys, of the last couple of years with Eric, and it's surfaced again with this. And it's like, okay, I'm going to have to deal with that, and I need to talk to Eric and encourage him, but let him know that, man, there's some things that bother me too much. Just let you guys know that.
And I have some things, but... He's my boss now, so I have to just kind of...
Yeah. And I appreciate him, CFS, and, you know, I don't know. Just to give you guys a little bit, is the whole thing with hiring Nathan, and he was right. He was advocating for Nathan. We're glad we got Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
But there was damage in the week of that. And I'm having trouble letting go of that with the next thing we do that Eric's involved in, just to be blunt with you guys.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, he does some things right. And with Shelley and his small group and those relationships, and when I talked to him directly, he was doing some things right with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it's all that drama swirling around his small group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now... The fact that he took it upon himself without informing anyone as a courtesy that he talked to Ethan one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
our top candidate, none of us knew that was happening.
Yeah.
And Ethan had to ask Jeff, who's Eric, what's his?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys, I just, mm-hmm. and that might have been good and perfectly good motives, but that didn't feel right.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want to throw Eric under the bus here, even though I'm kind of doing that. I just want to be kind of transparent with you guys of the baggage I have,
mm-hmm.
you know, with leadership stuff.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to contaminate Lane's interest because...
Yeah,
but
right.
Here I am. Okay, I got to deal with that.
Yeah,
so.
I understand.
Okay.
Hmm. more than you know. Yeah.
I do intend to find an opportunity to get with Eric and just be a bit confessional and not confront him, but just say, dude, I got to work through this, and I want to respect you and utilize your talents for the kingdom. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know how that's, yeah.
Well, the Eric Lane bromance is something that has caused issues. And, you know, they really like doing all that stuff, you know. And but I thought it was inappropriate when they get in the pulpit and, you know. Yeah, so I don't think you're carrying baggage. I think you're being astute to something that is not good. Okay. And I still can't hardly understand why Lane and Eric are teaching at Neotes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me should have been a red flag for, you know, Neotes.
Yeah, and I... Boy, there's a lot of things I do. I just kind of shake my head. But the kids love being down there, and the kids are drawn closer to Jesus.
No, I'm not saying anything bad
yeah,
about
it. Yeah, it's a good product, right. But boy, the board, they just don't know what to do with them. And come talk to me. I'm like, he's my boss. I can't say much, you know. And I've had some other things with Eric that I'm just...
Well, Eric has a goal. He wants to be an elder. And I've confronted him with the fact that he's not qualified. And, you know, he's very much, you know, in that mind that, no, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's – I disagree with you on the one woman man, the husband of one wife. But I think he really lacks discernment.
Yeah.
And that's the reason – that concerns me, and I'm concerned for CFS. So, but it's not my problem anymore. So, but he's doing a good job there. Doing a real good job.
Yeah.
So. Okay, anything else on the minister search? So we will move forward on that. I'll talk to you and Jeff. We'll figure out a time. If we can do one of them this week with Rex.
That'd be good.
And I'll wait to hear from the other guy. And we'll see what happens with the whole Lane issue. Okay, preaching schedule. And again, I had to put this stuff together really fast today because I had to go to the hospital. Steve and Jeff and I met, and I just put some stuff down here. And I now that we're at a different place, I never talked to Mike Root, and I don't think I need to because everything will be different now because we need to set times for when we bring somebody in. And so this is just a very rough draft of the preaching schedule that Jeff and Steve and I put together. I'll just go through it with you with what we were thinking, and you can add some stuff too, Steve.
Okay.
September 1st and 8th, we thought about the theme of You Can Count on It. That's where all the elders... just the first two times, just kind of all the elders working together on encouraging the body. And the You Can Count on It, just the hope for our future is better. Just talking about hope. And just as we move forward, we're at a different place. And just a presentations with the elders during that time. Just a team of, well, I'll be gone both of those times, but a team of elders on one Sunday working together, and then another time a team of elders just to encourage the church, because Jeff's gone. We had a great Sunday, and so now it's like, what's next? And we just kind of let them know that we have, you know, you can count on it. Just God's in control.
Question.
Yeah, and all of this is for talking about.
Yeah, we thought, I think the thinking is that it'll be good for the congregation from the elders first before as we begin this new journey, you know, this hear from us. And what we say is we can really maybe work through that, what we think will be helpful for them to hear from us. But we just thought, hey, the first voice is after Jeff's departure. It'd be nice if it's a familiar voice from leadership.
And yeah.
So, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I agree with that, but it shouldn't be the focus upon what we as elders are doing. I thought what made Kaylin's presentation so good was focused on biblical teaching.
Yeah, well, and that's what, not we're doing, but what our church can do from here on. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, but it falls into that woe is me type situation where I'd much rather hear about Gideon and the other people that she was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, because to me, it's the Word of God, and you know, that's where we need to be centered.
And, yeah. You know, and that's just a part of it. As we try to develop this, have stuff like that, and with the elders sharing from the Word, you know, there was no hope, but look what God did. And boy, look what we can do into the future as a church being alike, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking with that.
When I say you can count on it, it's like, here we are, we're going to do all this stuff. And I'm going, no, it's God.
Yeah. Probably changing the title would be good. Yeah. I think there was another, we had another title in there. I forget what it was. It's in here somewhere, but we can change that. And if you think about it and come up with a good one. So then the 15th is Church in a Park. And we thought about the Operation Everybody. That was for 4 weeks. And it would be talking about the priesthood of all believers and just working together for God's kingdom. A couple scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12, with the body as many parts. Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, serving and gifts, and Ephesians 4. Just kind of developing some of that. And again, I had to quickly put this stuff on here. And with the church at the park.
And that's done with all internal folks.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then October 13th and 20th, Jerry Jones talked with him. He had invited himself. He said, hey, is there anything I can do? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, we'll see. And he sent me, I said, well, send me some series that you can do and so we can talk about it. So look on the next page. I just took his emails and just printed them out here. I think he said three more sermons you might like. One, who are we? Ephesians 1. Exposition of Philippians, what knowing Christ meant for Paul. Number 3 was will God run? Luke 15. And he said he doesn't have PowerPoints, but he could make some. He said, I've been preaching some new sermons at Troy for the past 2 years. I can send you the PowerPoints for every sermon. And so then he had, I have two sets of sermons that you would call a series. Two sermons from Ephesians using his two prayers, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Forgiveness defined, how do we forgive? And another one is the 5 roles Barnabas played, Paul the preacher. Exposition of Mark, defining discipleship. I think he wrote a book on that a long time ago. Okay. Security of the believers. How can I know I'm saved? Hmm. Little faith, worry, fear of the future, doubt God's word. Any of those you feel like would be good for the body?
Yeah.
Which, I guess I will say, which do you think really come out to you? Everybody pick one.
Two sermons on forgiveness kind of jumps off the page of me a little bit. One I noticed the most.
Mm-hmm.
Our
sort of dovetail into our current one of the security of the believer. How can I know I'm saved?
I like the exposition of Philippians, what knowing Christ meant for Paul.
Has Jerry finished his book yet?
Yes.
Would he be someone that would want to take on that opening can of worms for us?
I don't think. He probably would. He would love to. I just don't know if that's a good time for us to do that.
Doing what?
On homosexuality, LGBTQ.
Oh.
He's written a book on it.
What do you mean opening a can of worms?
Well, from the standpoint of putting together, us putting together some kind of statement of what we believe here.
You want Jerry to tell us what we believe? I'm not sure what you're saying.
No, but the figuring that out, A, B, right. Presenting that to the congregation in a healthy
yeah, until
way.
We get to A, we can't go to B, and so we're pretty far away from
yeah.
B. Yeah.
You know, maybe that's I don't know if we can address that. This is just my thought, like a couple sermons and be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that should be something where we want to have more time to talk about it. You know, where we have some sermons and then we have some times where we can talk, you know, as a body of believers in a more informal way, you know. So dovetail with that. He might be a person to introduce us to the ideas and we can lead the discussion as elders on the talking points of that. Yeah. So
Kreider advocated, he thought, a class like we did with, you know, the women's roles and the instrumental music would be a fitting approach for this as well.
I'm wondering why we have to talk about it at all.
Hey.
Yeah, that's true. Resource.
I don't know why we have to bring it up.
I think the timing now wouldn't be all that great because we're in a transitional time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we need to get to A, you know, and then at some point in the future, if we need to, we can get to B, but I don't think we need to poke a bear unless we...
Yeah. Didn't you all read that article from the rooftop church that I gave you?
I read most of it,
I did, yeah.
Yeah. I was pretty impressed with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I'm not sure if that would be a good idea for us now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to preach sometime on the, you know, biblical concepts that touches on. I mean, you know, the family and Genesis and the whole thing. But
yeah.
Okay.
You know,
you're talking about the LGBTQ?
I wouldn't approach it from the LGBTQ purpose. I'm saying, here's what God says.
You yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple, at least in my approach. You know.
I don't know if we want to poke the bear.
Well, I think sometimes people need to hear the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah and what, you know, happened and what God did. And it was it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
All right, back to Jerry Jones.
I would say, can we think about it? I mean, does he need this tomorrow? Or?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's October still.
Right.
Yeah, look it over.
Right.
And our next meeting, I'll send him something.
And I would also like to take Ethan up on his offer of preaching a couple times. I'd like to get him two or three times in the rotation.
Okay.
I think that would be great.
But it would have to be at the end. He wasn't interested to preach anytime early on.
Well, I'll ask him and just see. It sounded like he was open, so I could ask him.
Is everybody open to Ethan coming to preach?
I want to put him up immediately.
Yeah.
You know, I think downstream, sure. But, you know, thinking like you're saying, I'd like to see us working on this and pulling it together in ways that, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if I want an old girlfriend to come back when she rejected me. It's like, so let's move on with this. So you got the Operation Everybody. Talk about the priesthood. Well, I already mentioned that. And again, this is just what do you think about these series? You know, and I'll probably have to shift some things around.
I was going
to
say, I got a feeling with bringing people in and everything else, a series is going to be difficult to maintain.
Yeah, but I think it'll be good to kind of have that as our structure to go to instead of telling people just preach on whatever you want to. So, Jerry Jones, and then God's faithfulness, talking about, I didn't put that in here, did I?
Got an asterisk down here.
All right, I got into a hurry because
I
had to take my wife supper and I had to get a bunch of stuff, go over to Sunrise. I can tell you some of that, what we talked about with that. Some things we can count on. We talked about God grows us through struggles, hope, future, better than the past. Exodus 14:14, God will fight for you. You just be still. Provisions, why it seems no way God provides, when it seems like there's no way, God provides a way. Mm-hmm. And then Joseph in Genesis 50, what you intended for evil, God made for good. And that was even brought up Sunday, wasn't it?
Gwen and Chuck.
Yeah. So those are just some of the things, just talking about God's faithfulness. And there's so much in the Bible about God's faithfulness.
Yeah. Or grows us through struggle, wearing the veil.
Yeah. So I put four for God's faithfulness there. Then Thanksgiving. And maybe we can be creative with a Thanksgiving service, or we just have a regular service, somebody preaching there. And then December 1st and 8th, two-part series on giving that we would have, where the elders would talk about the whole giving thing. And then December 15th and 22nd, continuing with God's faithfulness, and tie that into the Christmas story. And then you've got...
Point of order, there is no Christmas in the Bible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So... The birth of Christ.
The birth of Christ.
Yeah. So
Christmas is not in the Bible. I mean,
we know that.
Yeah. But Christ's birth is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But Christ's birth is.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's part of the story there that is very dark. And I always like to go to the nice clean stables but it really wasn't that way.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you also have on the September 29th and December 29th, the Next Generation Fifth Sunday, and we can be creative with that if we want to. Mm-hmm. And then I thought January 5th was when Ethan was going to preach his first sermon. So I thought, well, let's change that. Elders do something for the beginning of the year. So that's what I got. So you guys, does that look good, or some tweaks we need to make with this?
I said, let's think about it and pray about it, and I'll have to think about these topics and what they mean.
I'd like to suggest, too, that having multiple people even at the same time, doing things together. White people watch late-night TV because there's this, a conversation going on.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And, the idea that we have to preach for 30 minutes, I get tired sometimes listening to the same person, so I'm thinking.
Be creative.
Creative.
We don't have to do it.
Team teaching,
getting
men and women together, up there to,
Well, we'll have different people when the elders speak, right? So we'll have rotation there.
When I was in Guatemala as the chaplain, the guy told me, he said, things are real busy. You just have 5 minutes in the morning and you have 10 minutes at night. He said, and you probably need to keep it at that because at night they've been doing surgeries all day. They're going to be tired. And I spent hours working on it to try to keep it at that. And it went real well, realizing I didn't have to talk a long time. Just give them a point, and they responded well with it. And they said, man, I appreciate you just making it short. Yeah. And I thought, maybe that's,
a 15-minute sermon, man. Anything longer than that.
Yeah. It's just we're getting worse as far as our attention span. Mm-hmm. And so I'm with you on that. And we can be creative. And so sometimes if we have somebody can't do it, we have a worship time where we learn a couple songs. So which is the part of this that I think is going to be, I'll use the word fun, just doing some things differently because we don't have to do things the way we feel like we have to because we're paying for a pulpit minister to have him preach. So that's being creative, team teaching, and that's what I'll tell the people. You don't have to do things the way we normally do them. If you have somebody up there sitting at a coffee table and just having a discussion, I think I've thought many times about how cool that would be, bringing up somebody, just an old guy like Don Fitzgerald, and just say, or just
what?
Just being creative could be really neat. And that's something when I talk to the people, just tell them, you don't have to do things the way we normally do it. But
I think you have flexibility, but it could also be a train wreck.
Yeah,
and so
it could be. Yeah,
So one of the things
you brought up, Don Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
One of the things I'll just go through here. I just want to make sure that it's. The gospel story is hit sufficiently during this period, and that we're focused on Christ and that's in there somewhere. I think flexibility is good, but I like a good rut. And you know, and I've not seen team sermons go very well most of the time. There's been
not
a couple times.
What?
Team ministry,
oh, yeah.
Where you tag teams. The Matheny's I thought did well, but yeah. it's a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, 15 minutes, because the beauty of 15 minutes is not just attention spans, but it forces you to crystallize your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to talk for 2 hours. It's
yes.
very difficult to talk for 15 minutes.
It really is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think as we flesh this out with specifics, there might be a time that surfaces for a praise service.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you know what? We've only got 3 good ideas for God's faithfulness. Let's insert a praise service
mm-hmm.
or something as we, you know, get more specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think the praise team would kind of enjoy the chance to teach a new song or 3 and, you know, kind of focus on that. And multiple people praying in between some songs would be a...
Yeah,
right. And I was
thinking,
a good with
change,
simple structure.
Yeah.
Right. With that, we had, I think it was in Mid County a bunch of years ago. It's here's what the early church did. They got up and they read the letters. And so there was a couple Sundays we just kind of a praise, you know, they'd sing a song and then they'd read a chapter of a short book and then sing and then read a chapter and, you know, something like that I think is good.
And one Sunday, it was the holidays, we just had all the elders get up and just share, it was probably Thanksgiving, share what they were thankful for and
mm-hmm.
read some scripture and that was good. So,
you know, sometimes it's encouraging, and we don't know all these, but if someone can condense their, you know, their story, you know, and how they came to know Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you can condense that, that's, you know, it's hearing that story sometimes being encouragement to people. On those Sundays where we say we can do 3, you know, I mean, say, hey, Joe, would you get up and tell 5 minutes, tell your story about, you know, how you came to faith and,
mm-hmm.
You know, what's sustaining you right now. And so, you know, that could be helpful. It allow us, the person to be able to tell their story, but also us allow us to hear their story and we get more connected to that. So that's something to think
we may
about.
Enjoy that so much where we get a new preacher say once a month, we want to do something like that, which is kind of what we tried to do a few years ago, but we never was able to make that work.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do think Jeff's use of N.T. Wright as a little piece of the sermon. Don't want to do that constantly, but I do think that's another creative tool where
and there's a lot of good videos out there.
Somebody can supplement their sermon with a video that says it as well as we'll be able to say it.
Yeah.
Why not capture that? I've thought about that with Dave Ramsey. He's got a couple of things that I thought, man, he just says that so well.
Yeah.
I should use that sometimes.
Yeah.
Forget it. Okay.
So anyway.
Well, I know I've got a couple people on here. I haven't talked to anybody. I'm waiting and everything till I get you guys is okay. But somebody talked with Jeff Fogarty, and he was like, I need to know now because he's got to make do some trips.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I don't know, he was disappointed at the way I was doing it. I'm like, how do you even know that? But that's okay. Jeff needs to know pretty quick. And even the outside the congregation, I don't think we need anybody. We have Jerry Jones. He tried to get him in November. He's like, don't you know that's deer season?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And Jerry will be a fresh, different there. He's so.
I was thinking like getting Travis and Kaylin up there together would be something.
Yeah.
That, you know, Matthew Bardewell, I mean, he is good.
Mm-hmm.
I really think he's got talent to, you know,
Matthew
Bardewell.
Matthew, yes.
Yeah.
He can probably talent to be a full-time preacher.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he teaches for profession, so, it really helps.
Okay. So I'll give you till Friday. If you have any input you want to have on here, let me know. Otherwise, I got to get moving on this and start planning this.
Okay, so. Saturday.
Okay, Saturday. I mean, Friday, Saturday, something like that. That'll be fine.
I wanted to give you some kudos for mentioning what you did in your stuff about not bringing politics into the church.
I'm going to, every email, when I send an email out to people, I'm going to say that to them.
Yeah, it needs to be.
Yeah,
you know, I thought it was excellent. Kind of wish our preacher didn't start the building, you know, in the morning talking about it, but, you know.
Well, that was on everybody's heart, on everybody's mind, I guess. It was a big deal, and it wasn't political. Yeah. We had a presidential campaign, presidential...
Assassination happens, but, you know, it's... I mean, that's the world out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we need to be focused on, you know, what the kingdom is.
Yeah, right.
And anyway, thank you for laying that down. I thought that was excellent.
Good. Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
The CFS Day, September 22nd, that's the... that's their annual event, isn't it?
Yeah, that they're having out at out west.
Okay.
Yeah. And that doesn't affect anything we do, but just to let you know that's there, yeah.
Okay. Because I do like the idea of Eric doing a CFS sermon once in a while. Maybe that's once a year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long it's been since the last one, probably less than a year.
And he had mentioned he wanted to preach. He wanted to do three sermons, but I don't. I'm not crazy. I might let him do a series of two.
Okay.
If I can fit him in with two. I may not be able to. I may just...
Okay. But if he has sermons that he wants, that means that everything you just built won't work.
Yeah,
so
right.
Tell him no.
Yeah, you just say, you can preach this if you want, or if we arrange for a CFS week, we could do something like he did that time.
But so. I think he wanted something. He talked to Kreider, something...
With a topic.
With a topic from the Gospels.
Okay.
So I'll have to figure that out with him. But I don't want to give him that much time. That's just, I've got some baggage too. And so, and I've talked with him about it.
He's gifted in that way. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But I think,
okay.
That's good.
Any.
What about classes to be offered during this window?
So, you're meeting, I have that detail.
There's a spiritual formation group that kind of drives that.
Yeah, so the spiritual formation group. So Betty is, it's Betty, myself, Tim Nicholson, Jeff Fogarty, Jeff Kreider, and Matthew Bogdwell, I think, is still on the emails. He doesn't attend the meetings, nor do I. So at least recently I haven't been there. So, but they've been working on keeping things going. So we have the word series that we have been doing. There was two parts that we had built it, and then because of Jeff's current series, it got, so like Steve's got pushed to a later time, and that's mine got pushed to a later time. So those are all going to be coming up. I don't know why this isn't open. So, so those will be coming up in the fall.
Do you have something you can send me?
Yeah, I can send it to you. It's a doc, so my phone doesn't like...
Yeah, I mean, you don't just when you get home, whenever, just it'll be a day or two.
That's one of the things. So that's like 6 or 8 weeks or something like that.
More of the words.
Yes. Yeah, okay. And so that's the words that got left out of the first one. So either one of them was a snow week, so we didn't have any class, and then just different things. We had Ethan come in twice.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And so that's going to be between, at least biggest on this schedule.
When am I supposed to teach?
Officially September 29th.
Okay.
So that's from September the 8th, I think, if I'm reading it right.
Yeah.
To October 27th.
Okay.
So that's that whole first section of it. And then from November 3rd through most of the rest of the year, I think, the 29th, is Living God's Love. So it's a series based on, some of you guys may remember Lavender, Earl Lavender, and the other guy.
Mark Hicks?
Lavender and...
I'll remember it at some point. So they have a book called Living God's Love. And so there was a chapter in there where they went through five different things that were very important for churches to work to put in their lives. So not so individually, but also as a whole. And so Carl and Jeff and I had read the book, and we were we had mentioned that the idea of me and Jeff teaching that class ages ago, and it just then I ended up with a job that I don't have time to teach Bible class.
Yeah.
So So that got pushed, then it's got pushed out to the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And now Tim has bought the book and is reading it too, and so he's going to probably fill in, and I may teach a class or two. The original idea was a five-lesson thing, so it would fill most of the rest of those weeks, with some of them being Christmas and Thanksgiving, where we probably would not have Bible class. So those kinds of things. So it'll try to fill in that way.
And yeah.
That'll probably fill out the rest of the year for Bible class.
One thing we talked about at the beginning of the year was having Eric do a marriage class.
Correct. That was something that early on was on a list, but for some reason got pulled off.
Oh, did
it? Okay. It's on the longer list, mm-hmm. but I don't remember. Maybe Jeff had talked to Eric mm-hmm. or something that he wasn't available. Yeah. So it's whenever you have somebody committing to something, it has to fit into their schedule. So,
yeah.
But I have not been to the last two meetings, so I don't know why these became the two that are left for the year. But mm-hmm. yeah. we're almost out of class time, so it's.
Yeah.
So if you can today or tomorrow, just
shoot I'll forward that
to me.
You.
Great.
As soon as we get done.
Okay. Anything else with that? We'll move on. Got your input. I wrote things down. There's a sermon there. Okay, next is church assessment. I know Steve's got something on that. I'll wait till he comes in. But this is, being the week I talked to Shelby Coble about if she could send me information about the church assessment that Carson has talked about. And so she sent me this with just information about that. And quite frankly, I'm very interested in something like that. I think now is a good time for us to do an assessment. We just started talking about the church assessment.
Okay.
And so you could, if you went to the website, or I'll send this stuff to you, and you can go on here, and it has a link, and it's pretty interesting stuff there. And we're using cyber for our minister search, so I think it's a good fit. How much it costs, I don't know, but it sounds like it's pretty thorough, mm-hmm. and I think now's a good time, and so that's my opinion about it.
I wonder what we cover in it. I mean, and how did they get to? I know I went to their website looking at some of this stuff, and how did they get to these measurables to help you assess your church? What was the thinking there?
Mm-hmm.
I think understanding kind of where we are, where our body is in this area. So that would be my question: what will we do through any assessment, and why are these measurables important in helping us assess the health of a church? So that would be questions I would want to know.
Is it diagnostic in nature? I mean, does it come back and say, after the assessment, this is areas where you're weak, areas where you're strong, where you're...
That's what I'm thinking. And she says on here, the areas listed above are given the category of green, perceived strengths, yellow, special attention required, or red, needs immediate attention. This report is then shared with the leadership of the church, normally during a Saturday morning gathering, and then with the whole church, normally during Sunday class time. So that's after they do the assessment and send surveys to members. And they've done a lot of... It sounds like, and in going to the website, they've done a lot of, I don't even know what the big word is, where they've tested it and stuff, and there's a big word out there.
Okay. All
right. Well, I didn't know that Phil used to do that for the company he had consulting for.
Yeah.
He would go to churches, and I don't know how much he did the actual evaluation. I know he was doing a lot of the testing and presenting it, mm-hmm. at least originally.
Bill Gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was before he got hired on, when they moved to Texas.
Yeah.
So, like, they had moved there first, he did that. And then after that, he got hired on at a church down in Texas and worked there mm-hmm. and quit doing that consulting work. But.
The other piece I wonder if they do is this whole life cycle analysis thing. So, familiar with life cycle, we did a lot of studying that and use that for products and things like that, tangible uh-huh. things. But churches do have a life cycle,
yeah.
you know, in terms of where they are on that particular curve. And wonder if they do that, because that helps you to understand what are some of the things you can be doing to help yourself and to get out of, if you're in a decline, but if you're in a place where you're doing maintenance, you know, you're not at the healthiest place, you're doing maintenance, you know, what are some of those things that we need to be looking at, and what can we do to get, put ourselves in a healthier position? So it'd be nice to know where we are as a church, you know. And I'm wondering if the assessment would help us with that, and only help us identify that, but also prescribe remedies, you know, for to get us moving into a healthier direction. So having the assessment is one thing, but the remedies to move us to a better spot would be helpful too.
Yeah, I've thought about this for, you know, several months. I still can't see the value proposition. I don't know what actionable that we would get out of it. I mean, you get some data, but I don't know what we would do with it. So if it had value, which I'm not sure that it does, I would think we would want to wait till we got the new minister in place. Okay, given this paradigm, given what we're doing, you know, what do we need to do? And again, I don't know if we get this data, because again, we had Dale Robinson come in and give us stuff. You guys remember what he said? It's like, I don't know if anybody's been reading that. I've got it. But so we get feedback all the time, but what are we going to do with it? And so I don't know what actionable value we would get out of this, you know, what we would do different with this information. And again, I think it, if we did get it, I think it would be more valuable after we hire the new minister.
I disagree. I think it'd be more valuable now to see where we're at, because with a new minister coming, it's almost like a new start in some ways.
Right. Well, what would you do with the information? What do you mean where we're at?
I think we it'll give us a some ideas about the different things of that they mentioned up there, just to help us see where we are according to their, you know, the stuff, the information that they have, and we can, somebody from the outside can do a better objective view of where we might be in, and help us as leaders in the church just to see.
To do what? I mean, you got to do something with it. I mean, it's otherwise, I mean, what?
Right. And well, she says here, conversations that result from the report then begin to engage questions like, how does McKnight Crossings leverage strength to attend to other areas? What might be the 2 to 3 leading areas for McKnight Crossings leadership to purposefully engage to in others?
So maybe it would be things like, he came back and said, and I'm just pulling this out of the air, I don't think this is true at all, but let's say your adult education program is not consistent or doesn't have the appropriate structure or whatever. I mean, that is something that you could take actionable, you know, it's not a clear line of authority for your youth minister and how they communicate with the parents or, you know, something like that. I had no idea, but I assume there would be very specific things, because like you said, if you don't get those types of things, then
right. It's really, do you think you're going to get something that would surprise us? I mean,
I don't know. I've never done it before. And well, I think so. Even the process, I think, is valuable.
I think so.
To me, there's danger in that. You ask your kids, hey, where do you want to go to vacation this summer? And you get great answers. And, well, guess what? We are going to go to Columbia, Missouri. And it wasn't on anybody's. It's like, well, why did we go through all this? Why are you asking me all this stuff? And nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. And so there's definitely a downside.
Yeah. You know? Well, and that's where, like, the parents should reframe it in a different way. And I think as leaders, we get the information and we present it to the church saying, here's where we are according to this assessment. We want to get to here. What are some, and you get the church involved in the whole process. And again, I think process is an important part of the whole thing.
I think that's at least the way I look at it. I think too is that if we decide to go down this road, once we get a clear picture of where we are, I think you know, your vacation analogy, it's like, hey, for us to really do what we need to be doing so we can be in a healthier place, or we need to do these things. I don't think we tell the congregation tell us what specifically we need to do. Or we need to go. I think we say we make an assessment. Hey, here's where we are. Here's where we need to be, and here are the things that we need to do to make up that gap. And so I think we lead. You know, we lead, and then you know, then we move forward in leading. And so that's would be my thing, because that's the thing that's really for me is getting my head wrapped around it. Like I was saying earlier, those other things, you know, those are tangible markers that we can get my head wrapped around and maybe do something about. But the where the congregation is, how they're feeling about all of this, you know, and what will help them to feel more grounded, I don't really know that. You know, I don't really know that. You know, and so that's an unknown, and it's not something as tangible as a job description or what Jeff's duties are, so we can make up the ground there. So how do, and it, I think the question is that important enough to know where we want to try to figure that out, you know? And so given the, you know, given where we are in terms of all of these things that are not the norm right now. And so, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's something worth pursuing or not. You know, maybe the congregation is just fine, but I don't know that. And maybe it's okay not knowing that. I don't, you know, so that's the thing that's leaving me a little bit uncertain, is that do we need to do anything? You know, do we need to reassure the congregation? You know, do we need to communicate a different way so they can feel more, you know, grounded, know that we're following God's lead? I don't know. Are they holding us accountable for all these things that are going on? You know, so that's the other thing. So, you know, we've told them we have two fails. We didn't get Ethan, we didn't get Sherry, right? And so, you know, so how is that being interpreted, right? So I don't know.
I think this summary, Brad, tells us what we would end up with is these 9 bullets here.
Right.
Each one is going to be either green, yellow, or red. And we can do that right now and see, well, what do we think? Mm-hmm. They'll tell us, what does the congregation think?
Right.
And if that's useful, then it's worth doing.
And one thing I could do is talk to Shelby and ask her to send me some churches that have used it. I could call and ask them how valuable that was for them.
Yeah, because I see, get information, but what are you going to do with it?
Right. Well, that's, you know, and that's on us.
Is it, we can do nothing. Asking your question is, could this help us see blind spots that we don't have? You know, you ask, aren't these things we already know, or maybe there's some things out there we don't know yet, you know, that,
right.
And this would be a way to see if we have some blind spots, because you are asking the congregation, you know, to speak frankly about, well, I'm assuming, you're asking the congregation to speak frankly about these areas, you know, and my cynical thought would be that you'll ask the questions and you'll get a third that says it's great, a third that says it's bad, and a third that says it's fine, you know, I mean.
Right.
No comment.
Yeah.
And then you have a third that don't answer, or more than a third.
Yeah.
66% that don't answer it. And,
it does seem like if we conclude later, this is what we want to do, it would fit with an Operation Everybody timing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're asking everybody to answer this survey. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the timeline of all the parts here, but we might move that series if we decide we want to do that. That would be the time to do it, as opposed to pluck out a week in November and ask everybody to do a survey or something.
Or it leads into it, Dave. That could be an option too, that we have that Operation Everybody, and then the last would be going, hey, we're going to be sending this survey out, and then we'll, because I think it's going to take them weeks to give us the results back.
Okay.
So it would probably be, it wouldn't be till next year. So say they send it out in October, it won't be till next year that we get the results.
Oh, okay.
Well, that would be my guess, is we'll have to get the results, and then she'll have to come up and do the presentation.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
So that's probably. That's
and having her do the presentation, it's like, well, I don't like that either.
Well, it would be, let's see what they said here. We would get it, and they would meet with the elders on a Saturday,
right,
and then meet with the church on Sunday during class.
And that I don't like.
And what do you not like about that?
Well, somebody else speaking for us.
Oh, well, they're not speaking for us. They're just telling what the results were.
Right, but I'd say if we don't understand what the results are, if we can't communicate it, then, you know.
Well, but they're the professionals that are the experts.
Right. I would say if we can't communicate it, that you wouldn't want a third party. That's just me.
I think it would be good to have a third party, because then they would tell I think the church would receive it like, okay, they're honestly telling us what it is, where we might spin it.
Well, yeah, but that's our job.
To spin it?
Right.
No, it's our job is to be
like
honest about it.
Just framing the vacation question.
No,
right?
No.
Yeah.
I've been through so many of these strength weakness seminars that I'm like you, biased because there's a whole lot of people out there make a lot of money selling it, and law firms in particular, it reminds me, there's only one person that we have to be accountable to, and it's Jesus Christ. And I agree that, if you want to know where you're at, well, start with Revelations and see, like Laodicea, are we lukewarm? You can get a lot of, I think that's more important than what, the existing prognosticators are predicting. The answer is we don't know what God's got in mind. But I just see that if we're faithful to Him, to love one another, put Him first, it's really not that difficult. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there to imbue. And you're not going to get it out of data.
I think there's more to leading than just that. There's a relational aspect of leading.
Yeah, right. Just like Gideon. Right. He's hiding in the, wine press, and mm-hmm. hiding. And, the angel says, was it calls him the great warrior, but he hadn't done a thing yet.
So my thought again on the presentation. So there's shepherd and there's the sheep, and we're saying go left, and the survey says the sheep want to go right, and so Cyber comes and says, your sheep are saying they want to go to the right, but you're saying go to the left. And as elders, we need to think about that. Now, what is not good is the next Sunday they Cyber tell the congregation, despite what your elders say, you guys need to go to the right. And we need to say, we've prayed about this. There's a disconnect between where you're feeling and where we're trying to lead you. And, we have to be able to say that. It shouldn't be a third party saying, your elders may be telling you to go left, but you guys need to go right.
Well, I think you're adding a little... I'm not sure if that's what the case would be.
Right, but I just don't know what else they would be saying. Yeah. I mean, there's different ways to do that, but if we can't articulate what our vision is, we need to spend more time figuring that out, So if we can't communicate to the congregation what that is, and I think it's not bad, it's healthy to have an independent individual maybe saying, hey, you may think the church wants to go left, but a lot of them want to go to the right. That's helpful. That may be helpful. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I don't think, if you can't articulate that, I think that there's an issue.
So what do I tell her?
Ask her how much it costs first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So... is there even any point in pursuing it if we're probably not going to do it? That's what I
want. I would say we're undecided. It seemed like there's...
I'm not speaking for the... I can't speak for the group. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. I think we continue to pursue it and find out... I mean, you got some questions there that I think some of us had.
Yeah.
That I think it's fair to go back and ask clarification on those questions.
Okay.
And then... Bryce said what the cost is, and so those are, and then the questions that you get answers on, if they come back, they look like, okay, we see value in this now.
Yeah.
Or we don't see value in it now. I think then we make a decision whether or not to go forward.
Didn't they give us something a year or two ago when we first started talking to him after thinking about Jeff retiring, some examples of the assessment?
I have some information. I'll have to look back through my notes. So I found some stuff from a year ago that I sent you the link to.
Yeah.
But I'll have to see others. But like if you go to the website, it's got, you know, little squares. And this is the best thing I ever did. And, you know, the congregation said this is the best thing I ever did. Now, of course, that's what every website does. But that's why, you know, if you knew anybody that did it, that'd be good to call them. And, you know,
my memory is that after the assessment and it paints this picture, then Seibert offers a series of teaching customized for the needs of the body while you've got this period without a preacher, you know, that gap that they're structuring that's healthy.
For the liminal.
And that's my memory, is that they offer that as phase two.
But then there's a lot of people do this, the assessment, when they have a preacher.
Right.
So,
But, yeah, see, that they did bring that up for
Okay. I will ask them those questions and try to get some answers from that. So, okay, last thing is the Jeff's retirement reception update. I'll give you an update on the amount of money that's been collected so far. It's $2,780.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
that's great. I was hoping it would be at least a certain amount, you know,
that's
would
wonderful.
Be good. And I asked for the chance to elaborate a little bit on the way we're structuring the collection of that and make sure we're all on the same page, because it's pretty early in the process. And so anyway, we're concerned about private inurement, and that's a term you might have heard us bring up before as admin folks, where, you know, a not-for-profit can't serve the benefit of somebody who's too closely associated with that organization. This is a prime example where we could do it wrong, and it just looks like, wow, Jeff's promoting something. It's running through the church. People get tax deductions, and Jeff gets this big benefit. We just don't even want it to look like that.
Yeah, so people are making the checks out to me.
Right. And I just wanted us all to hear that structure. We want to be deliberate about that. Brad's done a good job of reminding us, because there's different scenarios come up. We blessed Ted Kriegler, you know, and different people. And we just want to, whenever this comes up, we just want to make sure we do it that way. So folks are writing checks to Steve, just like they would be given a group gift for some shower. Somebody collects for that, put it together. If it ran through the church or somebody wanted a deduction for it, then Jeff has to get taxed on that gift, because he's an employee, even if it's a parting gift. We just don't want to go there. So,
As I was collecting money on Sunday, I'm like, I don't have any accountability in place here. So I got Carrie Whalen. I'm going to give the money to her, and she's going to make a tree. So I'm listing everything. I just kind of as like an accountant.
Okay, good.
So I'm
good
I'm doing that. And some people give me an envelope, and they don't have their name on it. It's just cash. Okay. Other people give me checks made out to me. And so I think I remembered everybody from Sunday.
Okay.
So I'm doing that because I don't like not having accountability.
Okay. She's a little bit.
What?
You need an audit?
Right.
Yeah, I do. Yes.
So explain the tree. I don't understand that.
I don't know much about it. But Carrie came to me and said, can I take care of the gift? I'm like, sure. You know, so I'm bringing the money in. I'm going to cash the checks, get cash, give it to her. She's making a money tree or something. I don't understand.
Like a bunch of $100 bills or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Doing those things.
Yeah, so she'll just have like a little tree and paperclip them on there to the tree.
That's my understanding.
Actual real U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
So the way that they did for us ages ago, I don't know, it may have been when we got married. So Arnold.
Well, I can understand the concept, but I'm just wondering why they. Okay.
No, so basically what you
do is. This is a great point. It's the presentation, you know, is it an envelope and we let folks know what it is, or. Is it this kind of a display? I think that's a good point. I didn't give that any thought.
And Carrie really wanted to do it. She had all these thoughts, and I'm like, that's fine with me. I'll just give you the money. You can do it.
So usually there's about $100 that are put on the tree, and then there's a check or
a
gift card or something that's in.
I mean, a three-year-old kid's going to just go tear that thing up. It's like, there may have started with $100, but.
Or else Carrie's going to buy a bulletproof glass
case. Yeah, right. She'll take care of it and do well with it. So,
She'll do well.
Have we covered things adequate? Does that sound okay? Yeah. Just any more feedback from you guys on how we're doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you guys got that.
And okay.
It'll come up again sometime in the future, and we'll just, hey, remember how we did Jeff's?
Yeah, right.
Thanks.
Okay.
And nervous. I like that. It's been since hospital since I've used that term.
Yeah.
It's a big risk, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The hospitals.
Okay. I put all this stuff together because I was having to go to the hospital. Did I miss anything that we should talk about tonight? I took the LGBTQ out because I knew we wouldn't have time to talk about that.
Yeah.
Anything else? I'll confess that I took the last one for the elders thinking we'd already be through all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so you're next. We go back to the beginning.